Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Mark Dunley, and I've got to get him on the line, so please hold a second. And he's here to talk about the proposed natural gas to heat up the Empire State Plaza.
Hello, Mark Dunley.
Yes, Mark, we're on the air. Mark, so you're listening to Green Party candidate for controller, Mark Dunley, and he's going to talk about the natural gas proposals for the Empire State Plaza. So, Mark, how are you?
I'm fine, Cynthia, and yourself?
Good, I'm good. So, give us an overview of the proposal.
Well, for more than a century, the state of New York has operated a steam system on Sheridan Avenue in Albany in order to heat and cool the various state buildings, most particularly now the Empire State Plaza. And many people may remember, maybe about 20 years ago, we had a long fight because for probably about 15 years, they were actually burning garbage at the facility in order to provide the heat for the steam turbines or the steam plant. And after a very successful effort, you know, that was stopped. But they've continued to use, natural gas, which has its own both air emission problems, but particularly the whole issue of natural gas and methane is much more potent as a greenhouse gas for climate change purposes than, say, carbon dioxide from burning coal or oil. So a couple of years ago, the governor, through the New York Power Authority, decided to sort of upgrade the facility to also create what they called a microgrid. And so in addition to providing the heating and cooling for the Empire State Plaza, they would also provide, some electricity for these buildings. And what they proposed doing is putting in two new gas turbines to burn frack gas, calling a microgrid. They've actually allocated $88 million in the state budget the last few years to do this. And a lot of groups have been quite upset. I mean, one, this is an environmental justice issue. This is a low-income community of color, which has endured, more than a century of pollution. The governor argues, well, by upgrading the system, putting in two new frack gas turbines, burning frack gas of Pennsylvania, even though they're not actually going to replace the existing, I think, six gas turbines at the site, they will reduce it a little bit yet, a little bit amount from what they're doing. And when it's like putting in a new gas burner in your house, you get efficiencies. So they say, well, this will be 10, 15, 20% more efficient for, the operation of the plant. But we're like, yeah, but, you're still polluting the neighborhood. And once you build it, you basically locked it in for another 30 years. And why in the world, at a time when the governor claims that he wants to stop building, fossil fuel plants, is the state itself about to spend $88 million to do this when there are other alternatives that the state should be considering, particularly the use of geothermal to at least heat and cool the buildings, and then possibly some array of distributed solar and wind to provide the electricity part of it. So we've been arguing they need to go back to the drawing board that, they have this idea that they want to do a combined heat and power, you know, turbine system, so it's going to help provide both the gas and the electricity, I mean, the heat and the electricity from one source. And while they claim to the public that they have actually studied, you know, alternatives like geothermal and other renewable energy like solar and wind, in fact, when the groups called SHARE submitted a Freedom of Information request saying, can you provide us any evidence that you've actually done any study that you've been citing for months, they actually wrote back and said, we have nothing in our file to indicate that this has ever been studied. So, I mean, we have a problem that the state agency has been repeatedly misleading the public and taxpayers and lawmakers about what's going on, and that we believe that there are clean energy alternatives that can be used to power the facility and probably, you know, will end up saving lots of money for the taxpayers while also making a cleaner air for the people living in the immediate area, but also reducing the state's contribution to climate change.
So what are the environmental and health effects of the people in that neighborhood?
Well, you know, they are breathing the air emissions, and, you know, in terms of air emissions, you know, breathing emissions from natural gas is cleaner than, you know, burning or breathing the emissions from garbage, which they used to be using, or, you know, coal or oil. But there are still, you know, health impacts. There's still various level of contaminants. I was listening to a discussion recently from Dr. David Carpenter, who runs, I think it's the Institute for Health and the Environment at SUNY Albany at the campus in Rensselaer. And he laid it out in much more detail than I can. He mentioned the problem, you know, of benzene. Certainly there's some nitrous oxide, carbon dioxide, that, you know, he has shown, you know, does contribute to long-term health impacts. There's also the problem that they actually run diesel generators for emergency situations. You know, that is one area which we have said, go ahead and replace those diesel generators, upgrade it, because that would be very, you know, helpful to reduce it. I think some of the local residents are still concerned about the long-term legacy of the, you know, 15, 20 years they were burning garbage there, and they've been trying to get some additional environmental, you know, health studies done. I know that a former DEC wildlife pathologist, Ward Stone, has been trying to get some of his own records when he was working at DEC about the contamination of various heavy metals, you know, in the soil in the immediate area. But as I also said, in terms of the broader impact, and also this is just a bad location for any of these type of facilities. One, it's in an urban area, and you shouldn't be running these type of gas plants in an urban area. But it's called the Sheridan Hollow area, and so it's, you know, it has, you know, pretty high ridges to the south of it, probably several hundred feet. The Sheridan Avenue is below where, like, say, Elk Street and Washington is in terms of height, and so that leads to, you know, the emissions being trapped. And then when you have temperature inversions, particularly at night, you know, whatever has been released can come back, you know, directly, you know, into the neighborhood. And for instance, one of the ways we're able to stop the Albany Answers garbage incinerator all these years ago was that for years it was putting soot and other particles, dark particles, in, you know, people's lungs and cars and houses in the Sheridan Hollow and Arbor Hill area. But because that was, you know, low income people, people of color, no one particularly cared, at least no one, you know, at the state level that had the power to do anything. But then one day the wind shifted and the snow fell. And so suddenly there's all these black soot particles on the white front lawn of the governor's mansion. And then it became a cause célèbre. Oh my goodness, what is going on from this power plant? And they got shut down, you know, relatively quickly after that.
So the environmental groups, what have they done to try to stop this from happening?
Well, you know, more than 100 groups came together probably 6 months ago, probably longer at this point, 8-9 months ago, and sent a letter to the governor, you know, raising concerns about this. Actually, about 40 state legislators, led by Senator Breslin, who represents the Albany County area, and the chair, Steve Immelgreit, the chair of the Assembly Environmental Conservation Committee, you know, they jointly authored a letter to senators and assembly members, about 40 of them signed, you know, asking the governor to reconsider the project. What the environmental groups have done has been trying to educate community residents and elected officials about what is going on at this thing. It's been a big, big fight to actually get the governor's people to provide, you know, concrete evidence as to what they were doing. This is, you know, this is basically a used car salesman, you know, trying to sell, you know, a product, and you don't, they don't want you to look under the hood. And the environmental groups have, you know, convened a number of scientific experts who illegally the state refused to provide a copy the request for proposals to the plant. We finally did get that after months of legal challenges, even though the state's own committee that oversees the Freedom of Information Law said that the governor's people were breaking the law by not providing a copy of it. And then when we finally got the RFP, you know, we were able to determine that a lot of the information, or I wouldn't say a lot, but a significant amount of the information that the New York Power Authority had been peddling to the public was incorrect, that their, you know, so-called reductions in emissions were in fact overstated. It was often comparing apples and oranges, and particularly was not given a very accurate assessment as to what the impact would be in the most immediate neighborhood, you know, around the plant, because they were comparing things like, well, right now the Empire State Plaza is getting, you know, electricity from the overall grid. Now they wanted to produce that electricity right in that neighborhood. And so they weren't trying to compare, you know, what that present electric production was in terms of impact upon that neighborhood. They were trying to say, oh, this is what it is statewide. And by having this new, you know, combined heat and power gas turbine, you know, we'll have all these savings. One, the savings are debatable, but more importantly, the savings do not relate to what's actually taking place in the immediate neighborhood where, the, you know, the people are living. We, you know, the NYFRA continues to sort of retreat. You know, they... You know, one of the things that we noticed was that they were sort of playing loose with the reality of whether or not they were going to do a full environmental impact statement for the facility as required under the State Environmental Quality and Review Act. We did get them to finally publicly commit to actually doing a review. We believe they were not intending to do a review, even though they were sort of trying to indicate that they were. Eventually, maybe about 2-3 months ago, you know, due to all the public protests, you know, they have said that they are going to now study renewable alternatives to the facility. Once again, there is no evidence that that is really taking place. What we have required or requested is that the state issue a new request for proposal, saying, here's what we're trying to accomplish. Let's be a little bit clearer about what they're trying to accomplish. Let's not be the snake oil salesman, but in fact, let's start getting specific about what are the actual metrics of what they're trying to accomplish. And then allowing individuals from engineering firms to come in and saying, given that this is what you are trying to accomplish, here's an array of proposals as to how you could accomplish it. What we found when we finally get a copy of this very, very long, you know, maybe 1,000-page request for proposal, is that they actually, this request for proposal did not have much to do with the Sheridan Ammon facility. They had built another power plant a number of years ago for Rikers Island, the prison. And they just basically asked for bids for, you know, companies to build a similar power plant that was built for Rikers Island in this neighborhood. And, you know, we were like, no, you should be saying, here's what we're trying to accomplish, and allow people to say how best to accomplish. The big issue has become geothermal. In fact, it's sort of ironic that, you know, oil states like Oklahoma and Colorado actually heat their state capitals with geothermal, as does, I believe, Michigan has now moved to geothermal. And there's a lot of big buildings across the planet, particularly airports that have moved to geothermal, a lot of universities. There's a lot of sort of, you know, basically, what they were doing with this combined heat and power proposal is they were trying to take cutting-edge technology from 15 years ago using a system that was designed 100 years ago when they first put in these steam plants and get people to build it. And we're like, let's move forward into the, you know, the 21st century. Let's not be stuck with the old, you know, technology. Let's get the cutting edge technology and let's, you know, make this, you know, a showcase. I mean, if the state is really committed to moving away from fossil fuels and moving to renewable energy, why don't they use the state capitol and the Empire State Plaza as a model as to how to do it cost effectively? And then other people around the state can say, work for them can work for us. For instance, you know, Pope Francis has been quite good now on climate change. So one of the big projects in New York City for geothermal was St. Patrick's Cathedral, the main cathedral in New York City. And they actually did a very, very complicated system. They think they went down maybe like 1,000 feet to drill the holes for the geothermal. And it turns out that in this case, it would be relatively easy because we could use the water from the Hudson River as a heat source for the geothermal plant. And when I first heard that, I said, well, wait a moment. We don't want to be taking water from the Hudson River and putting water back in at higher temperatures. What's the impact on the fish? And the geothermal experts said, did you know you've been taking water from the Hudson River for 100 years to do this already? That's where you get the water for the steam plant. So you already have the whole system, you know, set up, and we should be less invasive with the water intake and outtake than the state has been for the last century. And I said, no, I did not know that. And actually, I just read yesterday in a newspaper that the state, one agency, the DEC, finally got the New York Power Authority and the Office of General Services, which operates the plant, to agree to a number of remedies to try to reduce the environmental impact of the present steam plant in terms of their water input. And as the article point out, people have known that this has been a problem at least since the early 70s, and it took, 35 years to get, you know, basic remedies, you know, put into place, like, you know, better screens on the water intake, so you don't, you know, pull as much, you know, fish and baby fish, et cetera, into it. And then apparently also some more restrictions on the temperature of the water being put back in. But in any case, that water system already, you know, sits there. And, you know, this begins to get into technical stuff, which is beyond my particular expertise. But that, the sort of cooling units, I guess there's four of them that they use, the chillers, to cool the plant, could be upgraded to be much more current cutting-edge technology. They're trying to basically continue to use largely what's already, you know, been there. This is just basically, you know, some old engineers, you know, state bureaucrats who had an idea in their head, were unwilling to listen to other experts, put it out there, and we need a governor who's going to say, no, this is not, you know, what we need to be doing now that we understand the role that fossil fuels play in climate change. Plus, isn't it time after a century of forcing people in the Sheridan Avenue area to, you know, have to breathe in the emissions from these power plants? Isn't it time to give them a break? You know, why don't you go put the power plant at the state capitol so the state workers would have to breathe it? And of course, so we don't want that, but the state workers would jump up and down. No, no, no. Why would you want to pollute us? Well, if you don't want to pollute the state workers by putting the power plant where the energy is actually being used, why are we allowing low-income people, people of color, to be subjected to this level of pollution? And also over the last, 30, 50 years, the Sheridan Avenue neighborhood, particularly right around the plant, has, you know, been built in. There's a lot more houses. It's not the type of warehouse district that it was, 30, 40 years ago. It's much more of a residential, neighborhood. And there's also a concern that with the new power plant turbines that they're putting in, they're going to significantly lower the stacks from the plants. And that means is that the emissions will actually become more concentrated in the immediate neighborhood. So we think they've done a basically very shoddy job, unprofessional job to date studying this. One of the things we requested is that, we particularly want to make sure that it's the State Department of Environmental Conservation that is the lead agency in terms of conducting the environmental review, you know, not the Office of General Services, which, you know, frankly doesn't seem to have any concern about the environmental impact upon local residents. And we want the new request for proposals to be issued. And we would say that the governor should just say, we are going to go to 100% renewable energy for this facility. Let's make it done. We do have, of course, as we continue to point out, there are factual errors, which they're slow to correct. There are misinformation. You know, they continuously try to spin it in a new direction about why they're doing it. I mean, the idea that we're doing this to reduce emissions in the neighborhood, actually you'll be burning quite a bit more gas in the neighborhood than you are previously. You know, they will back off. And now they're down to, well, this is really about resiliency. This is project is really about when, the Category 8, hurricane hits and knocks out the city of Albany's electric source for 2 weeks, that all the Albany residents can go down and hang out at the Empire State Plaza, which will be powered by this microgrid. And we're like, really? That's what this project is now about, is turning the Empire State Plaza into an emergency shelter? Well, first, I ran anti-hunger programs for 30 years. I don't know if this type of big facility is the best way to do emergency preparation, but let's also look at how often, such a power outage is going to take place. It's never happened before, but, I guess possibly it could. And then let's talk about what type of facility, that we can construct in order to deal with that 1 week out of every 20 years where the city of Albany loses all its power, and building, gas turbines in an urban area, they're going to operate 24 hours, 7 days a week. really is not the solution you need to deal with that one emergency situation every 20 years. They just have not done the science on this. They just have not, you know, answered the basic questions. They're doing a disservice to the taxpayers, and they are tone deaf. They have a product they want to sell, and we need the governor to step up to the plate. And we meet with the governor's office to talk to them about this. You know, they say, we know nothing. You're the first people to come in and explain this to us. And we're like, well, why are you allocating $88 million in the state budget if you actually don't know what's going on? And you cannot just be relying upon, you know, some engineers at NYPA who want to build a new toy that's actually based on a 15-year-old outdated technology.
So if somebody wants to learn more about this, become part of the group, how can they do so?
Well, there are, you know, various Facebook pages. SHARE is the Sheridan Hollow Alliance Renewable Energy, SHARE. You can just Google SHARE and we will pop out. There are monthly meetings we hold over at Citizen Action. Our co-chairs are Ruth Foster and Mert Simpson. Mert Simpson's the Albany County Legislature, represents that, you know, particular neighborhood. You can certainly send me an email, Dunley Mark, DUNLEAMARK at AOL.com, and I'll make sure you get, you know, tied into the various, you know, committees. And we want people to educate themselves. You know, we have a lot of fact sheets up on our Facebook page, and we can provide more. You know, the NYPA, New York Power Authority, has said they were going to hold more listening sessions. So far, there's been no evidence of that. We did actually manage to bring in a bunch of national experts in geothermal and had a full-day meeting with the NYPA staff to try to, you know, bring them up to speed on geothermal technology. But we actually, you know, think that these listening sessions should be listening sessions held in the community where community residents can come in and NYPA actually sits there and listens rather than trying to be the salesperson, but actually listens to information. And we think the governor needs to intervene and just say, hey, guys, you've not handled this well. Let's back off. Let's admit our mistakes. Let's start with a fresh thing and let you know. So if you want to call up the governor, was it 474-8390, area code 518, and say, you know, we want a new request for proposals for the Sheridan Avenue facility to see if we can, you know, use 100% clean energy to do it. And as I said, we think we can do geothermal for the heating and cooling, restructure how, in fact, the whole system operates. And then looking at, you know, solar and wind, and doesn't have to be right in the local area to deal with the electric requirements they're trying to put in. You know, they like to sell this as a microgrid, and microgrid increasingly just seems to be, you know, a brand and label for new frack gas turbines.
Now, when if there's no community agitation to stop this, When will this be in place?
Well, they were hoping to be in place by now. You know, their intention was to put out the contract months ago. We have sort of stopped that process. I think we pretty much are convinced, and we've been told this by other state lawmakers, the governor's not going to do anything until after the election. So they're basically going to hide low, twiddle their thumbs, wait for the governor to get, you know, reelected. And assuming he gets reelected, then they'll start, you know, rethinking this process. You know, we expect it's going to be a multi-year, you know, process at this point. But rather than, you know, being the ostrich with his head buried in the sand until after the election, you know, we think the governor should direct NYPA to, you know, be serious about examining renewable energy alternatives. We have no evidence at this point that NYPA is willing to do it. We've asked over and over again for meetings with the head of NYPA, Gil Quiñones. Have never had a meeting with him. We get a meeting with all their public relations flacks, their, you know, mid-level bureaucrats. We're like, we want to meet with the guy who's making the decisions, who's shoving this plant down the residents of Sheridan Avenue, and we want you to hear directly why what you're doing is a mistake and not protect yourself with this, you know, dozens of flunkies you have us meet with. It's a very unresponsive, undemocratic, untransparent state government, which, to be honest, is a hallmark of the Cuomo administration. And, you know, one would hope that during the election season that, you know, he might change and might become more open. And, you know, we wish he would make a 180-degree turn and say, yes, I embrace renewable energy. I told you I don't want fossil fuels. And I understand that natural gas is a fossil fuel. Now, people forget that 2.5 years ago, we couldn't even get Cuomo to say that burning fossil fuels what was causing climate change. He was a real climate evader, not a climate denier, but a climate evader. And so while he likes to proclaim himself as the leading governor in the country in terms of, you know, dealing with climate change, the reality is much different. The reality is that New York State only gets 1% of its electricity from solar and 3% from wind, way behind states like Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Texas, you know, California. And in fact, he, you know, his Public Service Commission has largely killed the community solar industry in New York State by changing the rules in the mid-game as to how they're going to get compensated for the solar that they produce. He needs to step up his game. He is not a climate leader. You know, his only climate leadership comes in a number of press releases he puts out claiming he's a climate leader. It does not come forth in the actual work that he's doing. Which is why we need someone like Howie Hawkins to be our next governor, so that, you know, we actually have somebody in there who's, you know, committed to deal with the climate.
So in our final moments, Mark, you're running for state control on the Green Party line. How's your campaign going?
Well, the main reason I'm running is to focus the need for the state to divest its pension funds from fossil fuels. We have $6 billion invested in companies like Exxon, $1 billion in Exxon. Working with 350.org, we've managed to get New York City to agree to divest its pension fund from fossil fuels. But Tom DiNapoli, the incumbent, says he wants to continue to talk to Exxon and have them study climate change, even though the Attorney General investigating Exxon for lying to the country for 30 years about the reality of climate change. So I decided to run against them to focus on, we need to divest, get our money out. It's wrong morally to try to profit from the destruction on the planet, but it's also wrong fiscally to invest in an industry whose days are numbered. We have to stop burning fossil fuels, and we should get our assets out of those fossil fuels before they're prohibited from being burnt any longer and become stranded assets. He has taken a very risky position.
So if somebody wants to volunteer for your campaign or send you a contribution to your campaign, how can they reach you?
My website is Mark Dunley, DUNLEA.org, and my Facebook is facebook.com/DunleyMark.
Thanks so much, Mark. I'm sure we will be talking again before the election. So you have been listening to Green Party candidate for controller, Mark Dunley, who's been talking about natural gas for the Empire State Plaza. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.